WFNU is a volunteer-run station made up of many different community voices. Each program expresses one aspect of this diversity and not the view of WFNU or FTI as a whole.
This is the Adapt Revolution. Say it with me, Beth.
What?
Say it with me.
This is the Adapt Revolution.
We want to first and foremost acknowledge that we are on the ancestral lands of the Anishinaabe and Dakota people, in what is also known as Minnesota, and affectionately known to us as the Twin Cities, in large part for the roots of this show at this moment in time. So welcome all to the Adapt Revolution.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 15th episode of Adapt Revolution. Today, we have an interview with Al McFarland of Insight News, KFAI, and Conversations with Al McFarland. Let's get into it. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the 15th episode of Adapt Revolution, your weekly antidote to hate, greed, and ableism, where the D word is disability. Tonight, we have with us Al McFarland from Insight News and the KFAI radio station with his show, Conversations with Al McFarland. And without further ado, I will let Al go ahead and introduce himself.
Thank you, Matt. So glad to be here. Thank you for the invitation. Hello to Beth as well. You guys have been patient in trying to get me on the show, so I'm grateful for the opportunity. Background-wise, I have been here in Twin Cities since about the 1960s, mid-60s. I'm a native of Kansas City, Missouri. My family, my dad and mom, sisters and brothers moved from Kansas City to southern Minnesota in 1965. My dad worked for a packing house. He's a laborer for a packing house. And they lived there 10 years. So my youngest two sisters and brothers were actually born in Worthington. Then they all moved back to Kansas City when a plant opened up in Kansas City again. Okay. My mother and dad, I call them both immigrants. My mother, because she was born in Mississippi, and the family stories about leaving Mississippi amount to escaping Mississippi, escaping Jim Crow, escaping sharecropping, escaping a system of disadvantage based on race and privilege and discrimination that our family personally was subjected to, but not that we were exceptional. Black people throughout the South suffered from the supremacist ideology of white power, of white rights, of states' rights, and that was the era out of which we emerged as activists in civil rights, not emerged, but continued the tradition of resistance as civil rights fighters, workers, believers, and doers. My father, an immigrant, because he actually was born in Cuba, and his parents from Jamaica, but he came here during World War II to be among the thousands, I think, of farm workers that were brought in from the Caribbean and from South and Central America to work on American farms while American men were overseas at war. So he was involved in that process, and that led to them meeting, them marrying, and him immigrating from, at that time, from Jamaica to Kansas City. So that's kind of the story. I grew up kind of in a semi-bilingual household. My father, though Spanish was his first language, he really had a British accent from Jamaica. But when he got mad, he would swear in Spanish. So I had an affinity for the language, and I studied Spanish in school, and I am bilingual.
Wonderful.
I am the owner of Insight News. Insight is the largest ethnic and community newspaper in Twin Cities. We print 35,000 copies every week, distribute them primarily on newsstands throughout the Twin Cities metro area. We focus our distribution on the areas of the Black community, meaning North Minneapolis, which is where I am right now at my home in North Minneapolis, also South Minneapolis, South Central Minneapolis, and the Summit University or Rondo area of St. Paul. We emanate from those communities out into the first and second tier suburbs following the out-migration of African and African-American people into those communities. We see ourselves as being able to speak to everybody in the community, but to speak from the particular lens of our lived experience as Africans, as African-Americans, as African people. I call us Africans in the New World. So in that regard, we reflect and demonstrate that our understanding of what it is to be a human being is fundamentally, essentially, a statement about inclusivity. And so our declaration of our pride as Black people is a declaration of our pride in being human. And we feel like our conception of the Black world is a conception or a lens that accommodates, invites, and supports every human being. And that human being's experience may be out of an Asian experience or out of a Latino or out of a European. And we believe that all both are integral and members of what we call community. So that's kind of the framework. That's the passion and the strategy that I take into creating and producing my weekly newspaper, Insight News. And I have a lot of fun doing it. I've been doing this since 1974 is when I started. Insight as a magazine, 76 as a newspaper. I started it sitting at the table as a newspaper, right where I'm sitting right now, a different table that many years ago. But this is the place I actually started producing Insight as a newspaper under my own ownership. I started off working for a printing company in Northeast Minneapolis called Graphic Services, and they published magazines. And I asked my boss to let me start a magazine for North Minneapolis. We did, published it for a year, monthly, slick, color, cover, beautiful job. And I invited him to let me sell it to me. And they sold it, told me their rights. Then I launched it again in 76 as a newspaper. That's my long, short story.
Yes, thank you for all of that. Officially meet you. I have been following Insight for quite a few years. I've been in the Twin Cities since I got into seventh grade and went to undergrad at Hamline University, which was kind of my larger introduction to the Twin Cities and all of the publications, large and small. And definitely grew a quick affinity for the Rondo neighborhood and the Selby Jazz Fest and so many things. Beth could tell you that one of her favorite coffee shops is Golden Time. So
sure.
Definitely part of the Golden Times crowd. But we're wondering, in terms of your work over the years with your publications and in the community, what has been your sort of nuanced experience of how people with disabilities have been a part of the news as far as you've printed it? And where do you see people with disabilities now in the community as maybe writers, as journalists, as community activists, especially coming from that Black lens, where does disability enter your work and your life in different ways at this point?
It's a great question. And I think the end of the answer speaks about where we are now and where we go from here. The beginning of the answer, though, talks about what has been the experience. Let me start with the end of the answer. I think that you framed it perfectly and properly. How do we, with intention, recognize all of the gifts that all of us bring to life and to community and to each other and to humanity? And if we figure out ways to always lead and be led by that intention, we will embrace every human being and her gift, his gift, their gift, on their terms, in ways that enable them to express their humanity and in a way that reflects both dignity and the power of their presence. The idea is to live in a way that we operate so that everybody recognizes that the person in front of her or him is a unique and powerful and perfect human being. And not that they've achieved perfection, but perfection is within. And all of us are on a lifelong journey trying to get better, be better. Not that any of us ever achieve it, but it's the path, it's the work. So to come back to the end of the question again, I think where we are right now is trying to be very intentional in seeking and recognizing and elevating the voice of people from every element, every quadrant, every circle in our community, and to do that in a way that brings balance and that reflects, you know, that we hear you, we see you, and in seeing you, we see ourselves. Can you see me? It's not like one pontificates. There's a mutuality, and there's an exchange, there's a negotiation. And the negotiation has to be, I see you, can you see me? Or can you see me? Let me see you. However we approach it.
Right.
I think that's where we're going, is where we recognize that, again, gifts, power, presence, and all are critically important, and every element of it enriches the lives and the experience of everybody else. And without it, we lose. We dismiss, ignore, deny, marginalize. We do it at our own peril, because we are less than we can be and should be.
Thank you.
So that's the end of the question. The front part of the question is a good question. What did you do? What have you done? Mm-hmm. And I don't know that I have been as intentional as I'm sounding now. I think I'm sounding more intentional now because I'm older and because you're asking the right questions. But I think if I have to reflect on, Al, what have you done? What did you do? Can I point to 5 things I did? No, I cannot. Can I point to X number of campaigns that I led? No, I cannot. I can say that our viewpoint, our worldview that I expressed now has always been in development.
Thank you.
And has been kind of a guide, not that we articulated it, but we're learning to articulate as we live, right? So that's a reflection of the intention. So I can point back, though, to relationships with individuals and institutions that have dealt with people with different abilities. And I have always, in my view, attempted to elevate that voice, those voices, and to reflect both the passion and the beauty of the voice and of the life that voice is coming from. In terms of practical, I know I've engaged companies led by people with different abilities.
Oh,
and enjoyed doing that. I have been in presentations off and on where we generally talk about how we all have to fit, you know, into building a new society, a new community. And that would be, in a sense, being adjacent. It would be lending my voice or inviting someone differently abled to lend her voice or his voice. And that together we sort of present a story, a theme, a narrative analysis that elevates both and all. But I can say that I think I have not done all that I could do. I have not. And that's why I'm glad to have this conversation, because I think I can do more and should do more.
Yeah, we think a lot about, you know, a lot of different things people might not realize are kind of considered part of the disability community and the disability experience. So even when we talk about mental health, and when we talk about, you know, there are people who have disabilities that are very visible or disabilities that are not very visible. But the paradigm shift that we're realizing right now is a kind of, it's a paradigm shift in the sense that we're looking at the world from the center of all of these people's lives who have been marginalized in some way in the past in society. Mm-hmm. And so our work to really center all of the margins, mm-hmm. I think with that paradigm shift is just the part for me that that gets me up in the morning, you know? It's just so exciting to understand that we can make some very different choices, you know, as a community, the way that we want to organize ourselves and our communities and our society and the way that we talk about ourselves and each other, you know, that's the revolution in itself, you know? And so I love the way that you framed, especially the end of the question, because the intentionality is what it's all about.
Well, you know, love that, you know, what we're doing as a community, not just this city, but cities around the country, simple things like curbs, you know, accessibility.
Yeah,
That's so
ramps common. And elevators, baby.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And I think that we're getting to where those things are, and they should be, second nature. You know, so that when you see a curb that is not proper, you say, who dropped the ball?
Somebody
didn't get it, you know?
Yep.
You know, and so we need to, I think we're moving to where incrementally we're normalizing, and normalizing means moving in from the margin, and we're bringing our presence and our skill set and our strategies centering those, right?
Yeah.
And we're discovering that in centering those, not only do we acknowledge, you know, our own selves, but we acknowledge, but we really help everybody else think differently. Yeah. And if you start thinking differently, you can be a better human being. So that's the most common, obvious thing is that, you know, the public transit with the buses, you know, you know, elevators, as you said, you know, but, you know, those are like air now. They should be like air. Everybody's breathing it and feels that it's actually in your DNA now.
Yes.
And you understand it and you haven't got to give it a second thought. This is what you expect because it makes sense.
Core level baseline accessibility as a part of life. I wonder, Beth, if you have a question.
Oh, yeah, I do. I would say that I, you know, would wonder if you think in terms of going beyond wheelchair access, you know, and things, in terms of being in non-traditional types of jobs or careers, because so often in my own life, I fight for the right to do just that for myself. Too often I've been, been made to stay in my own corner. I say that because even though I was a security guard for 2 months, I had been terminated, not because they didn't think I was right for the job. It was more that I had a hard time finding my way around a certain place where things just didn't work out. And of course, the job was, it was the kind of job which was an event sort of job. And I'm going to be getting help to find another security guard job through the people that work with me, where it'll be 18 hours a week and where it'll be more hours a week. But to put that aside, then I'm going to try to run for the North St. Paul City Council. That's the kind of thing I mean.
Mm-hmm. You're going to run for city council?
Yeah, and I've run for the school board in St. Paul. I got 3,000 votes.
Okay. Well, congratulations. And keep running.
Thank you.
Keep running.
Yeah.
I will.
Yeah, and I think we have to use every possible opportunity and every possible platform to share our stories, our expectations, our desires, our strategies, and know that we have something to say. And what we have to say, and have the courage to say it, because everybody's going to say it. They're going to discourage you. And not everybody, but a lot of people will. And it takes courage to keep showing up and keep speaking up, speaking out. So that's wonderful.
It's of us around each other to make sure that we're always encouraging one another to do that brave thing, to make something of today and tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And, whatever time we have together is really just to say, we're doing this ourselves, it's cliche perhaps, but we haven't even been waiting for ourselves. We've just been here, I'm not waiting for anyone, but, it's just,
make it happen. Really... Make it. When do we want it? Now.
Now. Yeah.
Now.
When do we want it?
Yeah.
Now.
I'm working with, women. What is it called? It's called, Women Winning, and I'm going to call them in January and February so they can help get me better known.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beth's writing a couple books. She was just at the March for Leonard Peltier. She's been a part of the Poor People's Movement for years. We're definitely out here. And when we say we want to make the revolution irresistible, that is to say, just think what kind of world we could live on.
Right.
Just imagine how wonderful our lives could be, and that's, for me, that's really the ticket is how do we hold that kind of space together with each other, about to really create what is possible.
Matt, we have to believe, I think we have to believe that we have both a right and a duty, right?
Yes.
To be co-creators.
Exactly.
To be co-creators of existence.
Yeah.
That our thoughts, our feelings, our story, our legacy, and our dreams matter, right? And
yes,
that we have to make sure that we never let anybody or anything silence us. And, if it means being disruptive, revolutionary, so be it.
Good trouble.
So be it.
That's what we got to do.
Yeah.
And I've done it before.
But I think that, we're moving into a space that is going to see a new flowering of or flowering. So I'm being careful with my words here. We're moving into an arena of regenerative consciousness, where all of us, ordinary people, begin to feel and have a certain knowing and a certain awareness of the eternal nature of our existence. It means we have a different appreciation of every second, of every heartbeat, of every breath, right? And we recognize that the breath that we take right now is an extension of the very first breath, the first time breath occurred in the universe, in the cosmos. We're part of that, right?
Yeah.
And to feel that we are part of that and to know that, you know, that each of these little breaths we take today have come from somewhere.
Yeah.
Tells us also that these breaths are going somewhere, and that's generations and generations to come. So take this breath seriously. Say something. Say it and do it, and do it now.
I was wondering if you would like to talk at all about some of your projects. There's anything coming up for you that you're excited about that can join you on or anything like that?
Well, you know, I do the conversations with Alan McFarland actually 5 days a week now. So one day a week is live on KFAI radio. It's on Tuesdays.
Oh, and
the rest of the days we go straight to YouTube. Actually, we're live streaming it on about 7 different platforms. So we live stream to the YouTube page of the Black Press of America. I'm part of a network of 200 newspapers around the country. And we have a live stream capability, and we live stream the conversation every day. We also live stream the conversation to the Facebook page of Black Press USA. We live stream it to Insight News' Facebook page, Insight News' YouTube channel, and to Al McFarland's YouTube and Facebook pages. And also we distribute it via LinkedIn and Twitter. And we're doing promotion of it on Instagram. And so we're trying to use the technology to generate engagement and awareness. And here's the deal. So at the bottom line, Al is just a reporter. That's what I am. I'm a newsman. I'm a reporter. I started off as a reporter for the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Actually, I started off as a reporter for the Worthington Daily Globe while I was in school.
I used to deliver the Pioneer Press. I
came from Worthington and got a job as an intern at the St. Paul Pioneer Press. That's how I started, and went to the J School at the University of Minnesota. Essentially, I'm a reporter. Yeah. And essentially what I do as a reporter is I ask questions, and I try to be curious, and I try to be a active listener, listen with intensity, and to let the person I'm talking to feel and understand I'm really listening. I'm really listening to you. I see you, you know, and my job is simply to invite you to be yourself around me and tell me what it is you want to say to me and to the world. And when I started off, I used to do a show on KQ. It was, I can't remember when it was. It was before, it was way back. I think it might've been, I can't remember, it was a long time ago, but it was a 10-minute show. And they aired it at 2-3 in the morning, you know, you know, but that's cool. But I recorded earlier in the day or on the weekend or something like that. But I told my guests, look, it's a 10-minute show. Approach this conversation as if this is the last 10 minutes of your life.
Yeah.
What is it that you want to say that you feel must be said and that only you can say? And let's start there and see where we go. So that's how I approach journalism, and I approach interviews and writing. I'm asking, what is it? What is the thing that is the most important thing you want to see or say or do? Let's start there and go from there. That's what I do. And I love being a writer. I tell people that I have a love affair with words. I love being a journalist. I love being bilingual. You know, I love having studied several languages in college and in high school. Not that I mastered them all, but I have an appreciation for the power of language itself and for the power of communication. So you ask what kinds of things are going on. Well, we, when I get into doing the social media or the live stream, I'm really doing my core job. What I am is a reporter asking questions. I'm using the technology, though, to reveal and share and show that process of asking questions to anybody who's on YouTube or Facebook or Twitter. They get a chance to lean into the questions that I ask and the answers, the responses that my guests have. And then I do what I always do, is I sit and write a story about the interview. I try to be accurate so that the person I talk to says, yes, that's what I said. That's what I meant. You got it right, you know, or if I make a mistake and I have made mistakes, they correct me, you know. Yeah. And then the technology allows me to put a camera on that process of Al, the interviewer, and a microphone, and to share that over radio, to share it over television. Our show is on SPNN in St. Paul every day, several times a day, and on the Minneapolis Public Access Channel every day as well. And then we have the radio show, then we do the live stream, and then we do the posting. So how do we keep using other tools to generate that information, that simple, single conversation? How do we get the ripple effect and keep it going out and out and out in the world?
Yeah, our parent company, our nonprofit that Beth and I started, is called Able Media. Mm-hmm. And one of my dreams is to really get more people with disabilities involved in the process of creating media, especially you know, public media and that sort of thing. And just to really, I just invite people that are listening to this show, that are reading the transcript, that are reading the captions, and more we would like to have sign language interpretation as well, as much as possible. I just really would love to invite people to come out of the woodwork. What are you creating? Let's share it together. Let's make sure that our voices are really being heard and our hands are being seen and, you know, our computer screens aren't moving. So my vision is for a world where any piece of media could be literally consumed by anyone, given anywhere, the proper materials and tools and things like that anywhere. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And that is literally my dream, you know.
It's a great dream.
So it's just really exciting to hear your stories and to know where you've come from, because I think we're sort of at our beginning of how we're at this point joining this community in a bigger way. And
let me ask you what's the business model for what you guys are doing? How do you create sustainability? Have you worked that out yet?
We've mostly just been going through grant money at this point. And we've got a partnership with an art collective called The Artery. We have a space at the Ivy Building in Minneapolis.
Sure, downtown.
So, we're really working to make money for ourselves and our work, not only through donations and grants that come through the nonprofit side, but to make money on events and be able to host events that are as accessible as possible. And we're also planning on building a studio in the space as well, a recording studio for video and audio. From there, I really do have to work with my colleagues on a firmer business model, to be honest, but we have a lot of good pieces, you know, and so I think we've got the stew started, you know.
How is Access Press doing? I did some work with them a few years ago.
I'm sorry?
Access Press?
Beth knows a little bit more about Access Press than I do. Okay.
About what?
About Access Press.
Yeah, if we've reached out at all to Access Press, and I don't know that we have necessarily reached out to Access Press do a lot yet, but I would definitely be interested in in reaching out to them. Yeah,
I was wondering if you connected with them at all.
Beth has people at Access Press.
Somewhat.
Yeah.
So, Matt, are you an artist? Is that your original art you're wearing? I'm loving the mustache you're rocking, man.
Oh, thank you very much. This is from, I got this at the State Fair. It's called Cloud Circles. I think it's soft aluminum. I probably could figure out how to make something like this. It's really lovely. And then these are three cats.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
And the mustache is rather long at this point, but for anybody that needs a mustache wax tip, look for Firehouse Mustache Wax. I believe it's out of Alabama.
Where are you guys from? Are you native of Minneapolis, St. Paul, or native Minnesotans, or
I am a twin. I was born in Cincinnati, Ohio. Mm-hmm. Beth and I were both born in Ohio.
I was born in Rockford, Illinois, and then I lived in Stowe, Ohio. I lived in Akron.
You weren't born there.
In the mid-60s, and then until 1971, and then when my mother passed from breast cancer in 71, before that, she had asked her sister to take me and my sister on up to Burnsville, suburb of Minneapolis. And then I had some, you know, quote unquote behavioral issues that had me winding up throughout the system. And I've, you know, been in Minnesota ever since.
Okay. Is your twin here? Two, Matt, or twins back in Ohio still?
Twin is in Minneapolis as well. Yep. So, okay. Yep. My sister is in Morris, Minnesota. She's a school teacher. And I started out as a youth worker. I got a social justice degree from Hamline. I hit the streets pretty quickly and have enjoyed myself thoroughly with the different social justice work and all the ways that art came in and out of that. And, you know, there's just a real intimacy to the ways that art and activism come together in community in the Twin Cities. And that's really how special for me.
Myself an artist in some, you know, in a major way. I love to do parodies of some of my favorite rock tunes. Sometimes they're sad, sometimes they're funny, sometimes they're loud, sometimes I just have fun with them. You know, sometimes they're about my love for cats. I mean, it just gets right down to it.
Beth just started a course at the Loft Literary Center. Mm-hmm.
It'll be when they have a course open up. They were able to get me a scholarship, and all I had to do was bring in my EBT card.
That's nice.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm real happy about that.
But I'm also a poet, and I'll be releasing my first song soon. It is called Back to the Caucasus, and it is my bid to end white supremacy. So
tell me this, what's the theme? What's the strategy of the song, of the lyrics?
The strategy of the lyrics is to just remind people of sort of, I think so many of us, when it comes to the imbalances in different parts of our world right now, white settler colonialism and the eugenics movement and all those other, you know, really hideous things that were kind of constructed under this moniker of whiteness, you know, that is what I am sort of, that is what I'm bringing into criticism in the song, is like all of, you know, that kind of white settler colonialism that's just kind of trying to still hang on here and there. And I think it's failing, but this is my little kick in the butt to say, hey, if you haven't thought about this for a while, maybe just bing, 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 you know, it's a reminder to become conscious of those kinds of things. So,
the patriarchy come into how you see us presently and historically organized, and how you see we have to evolve. My thinking is that part of the problem is the hierarchical nature of how we've organized, and the negative aspect of that is the patriarchy itself. And I'm thinking that there probably is a better solution, and historically organic solution, in understanding the nature of and the balance implied by matriarchy or matriarchal thought. And what I'm feeling as I say that is acknowledging the critical and essential beingness again of regeneration. And regeneration depends on and comes from I don't know if this is the right word for it. I'm saying, I'm thinking matriarchal system, but that's not what I really mean. I think I mean
The word matriarchy could maybe stand on its own, just a matriarchy that supports life, you know.
That's what I want to say. The life itself is supported by matriarchy, by women. The critical presence of women to the process of regeneration, of continuity of life itself.
Yeah.
Right. And so to disallow or to disrespect or to devalue that power of regeneration that resides within the matriarchy is a disservice that we're living through now. And I think, and I hope you're right, that it's falling apart. And what you're going to do is give it a kick and a shove. But I fear that it's so dangerous. That's why there is murder in the world, right? And why there is a rush to violence and a rush to war, and the idea that the solution is annihilation, and the solution is not annihilation,
right? No,
it is.
And so, how do we change our own hearts and minds to understand that there's something called balance that allows everything to exist, aware of itself and aware of its connection to everything else. And the everything includes not only the living things and sentient beings, but non-sentient, non-living. It means the minerals. It means, the water, the air. It means spirits, spirit world, right? All of it. So that's where I think we have to go. That's where I'm going anyway.
Thank you. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you too.
That's where the pronouns here for me, they say he, fey. So fey, fair, fair's pronouns came out of just an attempt to tie myself to nature. There are a number of other people that I know who use this pronoun set, and you know, the idea of fae or fairy and being tied to nature and being tied to those natural and non, you know, and mineral systems and things like that. It's just a reiteration of the fact that everything is alive and we are right here with it, you know. It's just in terms of the regeneration that you're talking about, it's just like, even with our language, you know, we're getting more and more creative. The way that we hold ourselves, you know, what should I call myself today, you know, kind of. And I just love that kind of play with just what it means to bring ourselves more to life every day. What does that mean for you? What does it mean for me, for us to continue to bring ourselves more and more alive every day?
Awesome.
You know, so, and I think that's really the whole thing right there for me. So, well, thank you so much. One question that we ask of all of our guests on the show is whether you have any jokes that you'd like to share.
A joke. let me think. That's a great question, because I have to immediately filter.
Yeah.
Filter all the jokes I've heard all my life. I'm a sailor, right? I'm a former U.S. Sailor.
Uh-huh.
And so when you ask me that, I'd say, joke. I'd say, oh, well.
Your dirty limericks came out, right?
There we go. Yeah. And stuff that's stuff that's disrespectful and stuff that's inappropriate.
Uh-huh.
Stuff that is offensive, you know, and stuff that is hurtful, you know. So your question is so good that it demands that I think about all the stuff that I would process in that area in my brain, in my history, called jokes. And brother, most of it ain't funny. Most of it's not. And that's a good
thing. It's hard to be a comedian these days, you know?
I mean, I've been getting better at having more of a sense of humor, and I, you know, and it's like I could write it all down and I have more than a page.
So I don't have any jokes. I don't think I do anyway.
That's okay.
How about you? Let me hear you tell a joke.
You're fine.
Well, I will, since last episode's joke was so good, I'll bring it back. And thanks again to Lexi. But so a piece of string walks into a bar.
Mm-hmm.
The bartender says, "We don't serve string here." And the string says, "Oh, all right. Well, I'll see you later." And the string goes home. String, you know, thinks for a while, ruffles up its hair, you know, and goes back to the bar and walks in. And the bartender said, "Hey, weren't you that piece of string that I just saw?" And the string said, "I'm afraid not."
I'm not getting it.
The string ruffled
I'm
up
not
its hair.
Either.
So sure, the string it. Ruffled up its hair. And okay. So when the piece of string becomes frayed.
Not. I got it. Not. Okay. I'm slow. Cool. That's good.
The not, string to good. The frayed knot. Yeah.
Yeah.
So frayed knot. That's the.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
I love it.
I'll give you one more, since we're on we air on Frogtown Community Radio right now. And so I'll tell my favorite frog joke as well, for anyone that hasn't heard it. What happens to a frog that parks illegally?
I don't know.
Get that one.
It gets towed.
I like it. I'm wrecking my brain for a good joke, but I'm hitting zeros right now. You know,
well, you can always come back and
I'll have to.
If you want to.
I know some good ones too, but let's see. So the one that comes to mind, you know, so now, okay, let me be vulnerable here. And because this joke is about a speech impediment.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so do I say it or not?
I think full disclaimer, this joke is about a speech impediment, and we probably have listeners who've had speech impediments. I've had a speech impediment, so go ahead.
Okay, so, and it was funny when I heard it, but I don't like it now, but that's, it's what came to mind. So this is an Army joke where these guys were paratroopers, and they were training, and this was their first jump. And the drill sergeant told all the guys, you know, when you get up here, take your cable off the back of your parachute and put it on the line here by the door. Then get up and I say, go, I'll give you a gentle push. You jump out and you count to 10, open the chute up. And then when you get down there, the truck is going to bring you back to the base, right? And so two parts of the joke, you know, everybody says, you got it. Any questions? So one guy stutters. This is a stuttering part.
Yeah.
So Sergeant, how many did you say I should count to? Sergeant says, I said 10, but in your case, count to 1. That's the joke. That's
got
not that.
Got it.
Okay.
That is not offensive. Really, it's like, you know, that's almost like, I'll make it work for you. You know, but no, I.
Well, here's the second part of the joke. Here's the good part of the joke.
Oh, okay.
The guy jumps and he counts, you know, takes his time, counts to 1 as instructed, and pulls the ripcord. Chute doesn't open. He's plummeting to the earth. He knows the instruction was pull the backup cord, pull it, no chute. He said, damn, Sergeant lied. I bet you there's not going to be a truck to take me back to the base when I get down there. That's funny.
Yeah.
Because anyway.
No shoot.
Oh, shoot. Yeah.
Oh, shoot.
I bet you there won't be a truck either. So anyway, that's one of the stories that I had.
One good one I got is, you know, I can't understand why people say nightmare. What do you mean nightmare? You know, who says, you know, why not also daymare? You know, when horrible things are going on, it could also happen during the day too. I mean, this doesn't just stop during the day.
Yeah, well, that was
what
a daymare.
Think about that.
Yeah, huh? That's pretty funny, Beth. That's wordplay right there. All right, Al.
Well, guys, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. And here's to the revolution.
Here's to the revolution.
Yeah.
All right.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
We will.
All right, good night.
I'm going to have you guys on my show as well, okay? We'll do that.
Oh, yes, I would love to.
Oh, yeah, I would love to.
This will be a great interview. I love it. Thank you so much. Take care. Good night.
Contact us.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks again to Al for the conversation tonight. We look forward to being on your show as well. Remember that content from today's episode is available in the YouTube playlist linked to the podcast description for today's episode. It includes video with captions of today's interview with Al McFarland. There are also links to Insight News, KFAI, and Conversations with Al McFarland on YouTube. Have a great night, y'all. Intro music in today's episode is from Professor X. That's Professor EXE. And the outro song is by Mariba, and it's called Kinfolk. And that about wraps up our episode of Adapt Revolution, your weekly antidote to hate, greed, and ableism, where the D word is disability. Thanks for tuning in.
getting late, but we're still awake, and the morning's rushing like a wave. Gonna find some sleep someday. Dirty speakers screaming a face, and the teacher's keeping some secrets safe. That's why we read between the pages. Smoke digging for our hidden treasures. Don't you see? We cut wood nobody could measure, and we could be. Smoke deep.